Morning, church. Welcoming you back to St. John's Live or St. John's Online. Really happy to have you joining us this morning for Sunday morning church while we are still sheltering in place or at home or quarantining. A few announcements. You can see that it's just Brian and me this morning. Mary had her hip replaced this week and is recovering quite well. She and I have been texting back and forth this week, and it's all positive. So I expect that Mary will probably be back with us before too long, but we're going to give her plenty of time to recover and make sure that she's well on the road to recovery before we bring her back and put her in the rotation. But we will certainly miss her voice and her presence in our worship together. A couple more announcements, I suppose. That you've been reading our email communications or looking at those updates on the website, you have a sense that your church is really functioning quite generously when it comes to supporting those who've been affected by this pandemic. I want to thank you for your generosity. I want to thank you for your support in our mission to continue to cover this valley with love, just like snow covers it in the wintertime. I can't say enough wonderful things about how you have stepped up so generously to support those in need here in Jackson Hole and beyond Teton County as well. I also suspect that you've been updated on some of our sad news, particularly the closure of the Chapel of the Transfiguration. Really, really hard for us to think about that place closed for the summertime. But it seems as though that is the right decision to make. And if for some reason circumstances change over the course of the summer, we'll certainly revisit that decision. We're working hard and have a small task force that's looking closely at Bright Beginnings, our preschool, and seeing how we might bring that place back toward operation. There are no firm decisions have been made yet, and there are many hurdles to get over. But we're working very hard on that too. And then, of course, working toward the day when we might be back together here in this church building or somewhere else on our campus, maybe outside for worship together so that we might see each other face to face. Maybe we'll see each other from behind masks and at a safe distance. But we'll begin to bring our community back to church on Sunday mornings when that is safe option for us. I want you to know that we are all working hard on how and when to make those decisions. I want to commend the staff and the leadership of this church for their hard and diligent work over the course of the last few months as we've been sheltering at home. Your leadership has been moving mountains, and I'm so grateful for the hard work that they've done. And I'm so grateful to you for tuning in each week and making the best of this experience. To those of you who are viewing from outside Jackson Hole, I would just assure you that we'll continue to live stream some form or fashion of church as we move forward. We've been so happy to welcome you to our community that you've joined in from across the country and across the globe. And we'll try to figure out more ways to make you a lively part of our congregation. After a moment of silence, we'll begin our worship. Alleluia, Christ is risen.
The Lord is risen indeed. Alleluia.
God of love, you know our innermost thoughts and the deepest secrets of our hearts. Holy Spirit, move into our lives with your mercy and forgiveness. Cleanse us and make us whole, so that we are ready to serve you and your creation with love. Amen. Lord, have mercy.
Christ have mercy.
Lord, have mercy. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Almighty God, whom truly to know is everlasting life, grant us so perfectly to know your Son, Jesus Christ, to be the way, the truth, and the life, that we may steadfastly follow his steps in the way that leads to eternal life. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen.
A reading from 1 Peter. Like newborn infants, long for the pure spiritual milk, so that by it you may grow into salvation, if indeed you have tasted that the Lord is good. Come to him, a living stone, though rejected by mortals, yet chosen and precious in God's sight. And like living stones, let yourselves be built into a spiritual house, to be a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. For it stands in Scripture, "See, I am laying in Zion a stone, a cornerstone chosen and precious, and whoever believes in him will not be put to shame." To you then who believe, he is precious. But for those who do not believe, the stone that the builders rejected has become the very head of the corner, and a stone that makes them stumble and a rock that makes them fall. They stumble because they disobey the word, as they were destined to do. But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's own people, in order that you may proclaim the mighty acts of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. If you'll join me saying Psalm 31, verses 1 through 5 and 15 through 16 in unison. In you, O Lord, have I taken refuge. Let me never be put to shame. Deliver me in your righteousness. Incline your ear to me. Make haste to deliver me. Be my strong rock, a castle to keep me safe. For you are my crag and my stronghold. For the sake of your name, lead me and guide me. Take me out of the net that they have secretly set for me, for you are my tower of strength. Into your hands I commend my spirit, for you have redeemed me, O Lord, O God of truth. My times are in your hand. Rescue me from the hand of my enemies and from those who persecute me. Make your face to shine upon your servant, and in your loving kindness, save me. The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to John.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
Jesus told his disciples, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house there are many dwelling places. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, so that where I am, there you may be also. And you know the way to the place where I am going." Thomas said to him, "Lord, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way?" Jesus said to him, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you know me, you will know my Father also. From now on, you do know him and have seen him." Philip said to him, "Lord, show us the Father and we will be satisfied." Jesus said to him, "Have I been with you all this time, Philip, and you still do not know me? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, 'Show us the Father'? Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own, but the Father who dwells in me does his works. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father is in me. But if you do not, then believe me because of the works themselves. Very truly I tell you, the one who believes in me will also do the works that I do, and in fact will do greater works than these, because I am going to the Father. I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If in my name you ask me for anything, I will do it." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ. Boy, I hear a lot of good news in this reading today.
Yeah.
And it starts right off with exactly what I need to hear. Today, and probably always, Jesus told his disciples, "Do not let your heart be troubled." You know, it's the message that we have heard several times since Easter Sunday. Peace be with you.
Right.
Do not let your heart be troubled. Your hearts, you all. Mm-hmm.
I think for me, the way that I'm translating that in my own life, in my own spiritual practice, is just everything's going to be okay. And just that reassuring, somewhat motherly line on Mother's Day.
Mm-hmm.
Everything's going to be okay. I feel like no one said that line more convincingly than my mother when I was growing up, and probably my children would say it as their mother who assures them of that.
Yeah,
I feel it.
Yeah, it's such a beautiful thing, and it's such an assurance that I think we can all hold on to and lean on and lean into right now.
Yeah.
I think it's so beautiful. And then immediately after assuring them, because he's talking to his friends, right? He's talking to the people he loves, to the people who love him. And as soon as, right after telling them, you know, don't let your hearts be troubled, then he gives them this other wonderful assurance that in my Father's house, there are many dwelling places. And that really jumped out at me this week, dwelling places. It's like, you know, it's more than just a place to reside, more than just a place to cook your meals and go to sleep at night. Mm-hmm. We are at home in God, and therefore that we are at home in the world. Mm-hmm. You know, a lot of the language in this particular passage can be construed to be pointing to a life after this life. Mm-hmm. But what I love about it is it also points to this life and this world that we are living in today.
Yeah, I think I like the idea of Jesus affirming our existence as more than just circumstantial. You know, we hear that echo from 1 Peter that we are a chosen. There's mm-hmm. there's a choice here that God makes, and we have a sense, as the story articulates it, that each of those disciples are chosen to be a part of that inner circle. And as you speak to this idea of dwelling being more than just a place to hang your hat, and you know, we check in the afternoon, we check out in the morning and move on to some other place, I'm thinking about this work of settling, like what it means to settle somewhere, what it means to really dwell somewhere, or one of those other words that we hear from the scripture, abide. Like, how do we abide? There's a permanence about it, or an understanding that there's some work to be done. And I was as you were talking, I was remembering today that as I was looking at Instagram, I got one of those reminders of like, here's what's happening 4 years ago in your life. And it was a picture of Cindy in our living room and kitchen in our house in California in a down coat that we got her for Mother's Day. And that was this, we knew we were coming here. It was announced, you know, we're like moving to Jackson. And that was one of the things that it was an act of settling. You know, this like, oh, there's stuff that you need. Then there are relationships that you build. There's meaningful work that you find. There are institutions and communities that you connect to. It's not a coincidence or an accident dwelling. It's deliberate.
Very deliberate, very intentional. And I love linking settling to that. And abiding, because all of these ideas, all of these ways of being, they kind of demand a measure of calm, don't they? I mean, settle.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they do.
Abide.
Don't let your hearts be troubled.
Exactly.
Right back to that place of everything's going to be okay.
And when we dwell within a place, or when we dwell upon something, we talk about, well, let me dwell on that for a minute.
Yeah.
It means we take a moment and we maybe even celebrate a little bit the calm and the quiet of just being within a place, or being in relationship with another, or with a family, or with a community.
Mm-hmm. And I'm thinking as we're talking, one of the ingredients is time.
Yeah.
It doesn't have to be years and years and years, but there is this idea, I think, in really accepting this as a practice of just not being in a hurry.
Mm-hmm.
And not that sort of hurry, hurry, worry, worry, scurry, scurry thing that we can do as human beings, but really connecting to time in the present moment and doing the work that needs to be done to acknowledge our space or our context and the people and the creatures and the institutions and the history that's all around it.
Mm-hmm.
Now I'm thinking about being a relative newcomer to this community, mm-hmm. and about how, part of the settling is learning the stories and not just in this church of like, who put that window in the chapel or how did this tree come to be in this place? But, those stories of magnificent joy of the church engaging in a ministry to provide a hospital to this community and mm-hmm. all the work and attention that takes to the great tragedies of burying those beloved people who have whose lives have made an impression on these pews and on our hearts in a way.
That's a very interesting way of looking at a church too, is a church dwelling mm-hmm. within the community. St. John's as a corpus, really dwelling in this place for a long time now, and hopefully for a long time in the future. Again, with intention and with love.
Yeah.
Thomas and Philip are both mentioned in this little passage too, and they've been with Jesus for a period of time now. They've been following him around and watching him do all these amazing works and healing. And it's interesting, isn't it, that both of them are kind of like, I don't know if I quite understand this. I don't know if I'm quite buying this or not yet, right?
I like to think of, I don't think any disciple there was really following what Jesus was laying down, was picking up what Jesus was laying down. This is how I like to think of it. But it's Thomas and Philip who are unsettled enough in the moment to speak it out and be like, wait. He doesn't say I don't know. He says we don't know. And John, the beloved disciple, and Peter, the rock that the church is found, are scratching their heads and looking around the room does anybody else know what he's talking about? it's Thomas and Philip who speak it out.
And then Jesus, very gently and softly, tells them, you do know.
Right.
Even though you think you don't know in this time of uncertainty and confusion, and maybe in some cryptic language that Jesus happens to be using here, some metaphorical language, right? He assures them, no, you do know it.
Yeah.
From
and
now
you
on.
Know me. You know me.
Because you know me.
I am in the Father, and the Father is in me. That intermediary connection.
Yes. Parents. He says, from now on, you do know him, and you have seen him. You speaking of God, because of Jesus's close relationship with God, it's been demonstrated through his works. And what are his works? Healing, loving,
teaching, leading,
feeding.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Those are how you know God.
Right.
Is through the demonstration of these actions.
And how wonderful it is to have that sort of range of how do you know? There are those out there who have just an innate charism to be connected to God. And we probably know people like that in our own lives. And then there's this other group, and I would suggest that you and I are in that herd, where we witness these magnificent acts when our eyes are open and our hearts are open and our minds open and we're like, wait a minute, there it is. Mm-hmm. Oh my God. Literally. Oh my God. Mm-hmm. There it is. I love that there's this expansiveness to how we come to be connected.
Yep, and I mean, in my Father's house, there are many dwelling places.
Yeah.
And you know, that implies to me anyway, that there are many ways to dwell.
Mm-hmm. And there's a spot for you.
And there's a spot for you.
Yeah.
Right. So this is not a passage that includes some and excludes others. It opens the possibility for everyone to dwell in God's house.
Yes.
Which is not just a place somewhere in the great by and by. It's also right here.
Right.
Right now. In Jackson Hole. Well,
did we do it?
Did we do it justice? I don't know.
Yeah, I think we did.
I'll leave that up to you guys to decide.
Circling back to that, everything's going to be okay. And
yeah,
just how the story flows from that place. I'm glad you started us out there.
Well, thanks for being here with me in it.
Amen.
Amen.
So a little homework for you this week. It's my week to task you with that practical application piece. And what I'd ask you to do is to give a little extra thought. Examine your feelings around it too, but give a little extra thought and a little extra feeling to what it means to dwell here, wherever you are, right now. Is there something that needs to be added? Is there a relationship that's missing? Is there a connection to the history of that place or space that you need or that you're curious about? Is there a token, like a warm coat, or I guess right now we're heading to the season of a good pair of sunglasses and a sturdy hat. Is there something that you need in order to really dwell, in order to settle, in order to abide in your space? That's what you're after this week.
Tired and so weary, but I must
Let's all say together the Christian affirmation in a time of uncertainty. We believe in God, the Creator, who reminds us in the drawing of every new day that new life is possible. We believe in the wonder and grandeur of the universe, where the whole of life is called to live in harmony of care. We believe in Jesus Christ, who prayed in the mountains of peace and brought us the word in mustard seeds and fig trees of blessing, whose footsteps touch the earth in love, and who invites us to follow. We believe in the Holy Spirit, whose wisdom often lies embedded in ancient peoples. They trod lightly across deserts and lived gently among plants and creatures. They reached respectfully for the mystery, which is God with us, the one who never leaves us or forsakes us. We believe in the everlasting hope, the great calling of the people of God, the Church, for the transforming of all things, which is possible in God. Amen.
With all our heart and mind, let us pray to God, saying, O God, in your goodness, hear our prayer. In this time of confusion, vulnerability, and uncertainty, let us pray to God. O God, in your goodness,
hear our prayer.
That our spiritual leaders may serve your people in ways that demonstrate your love and healing power, let us pray to God. O God, in your goodness,
hear our prayer.
That the leaders of this nation and all others in authority may be guided by your wisdom and find strength and courage to know and accomplish your purposes in the midst of these troubling times, let us pray to God. O God, in your goodness,
hear our prayer.
That all peoples of the earth, especially the most vulnerable among us, be kept safe. Let us pray to God for the special needs of our congregation, especially for Jackie, Mark, Eric, Paul, Rebecca, Marion, Stan, Marie, Sylvia, Megan, Melissa, Gail, Amy, Robin, Ernie and Francis, Ned, Mark, Julie, Tony, Svetlana, Jim, Rob, Kelly, Sue, Susie, Stephen, Mary, Russell, Nikki, Jean, Ann, Cindy, Evelyn, and those we now name. O God, in your goodness,
hear our prayer.
That we, your people, may find joy in compassion and unity, that we may find new ways to connect and to love one another. Let us pray to God in thanksgiving for those celebrating birthdays, Peter, Phil, Charlie, Lisa, Mary Grace, Sharon, Jim, Corinne, Al, Lynn, Jackie, Sean, Jude, Colette, Rod, Kate, Allison, Christina, Lou, Pam, Rob, Knox, and those celebrating anniversaries, Herb and Amy, Matt and Pam, Clark and Andy, Jim and Dale, Larry and Bev. O God, in your goodness,
hear our prayer.
That we may have patience as your work in the world unfolds. That we do not fall into despair, but rise in hope, let us pray to God. O God, in your goodness,
hear our prayer.
That those who have died may find peace and joy among the communion of saints. Let us pray to God. O God, in your goodness, hear our prayer. Lord, we give you thanks for our mothers. We are grateful that you chose to give us life through them. Thank you for the sacrifices they make in caring and nurturing us. We thank you for the women who raised us, who were our mothers in childhood, whether birth mother or adopted mother or older sister or aunt or grandmother or stepmother or someone else. Thank you for those women who held us and fed us, who cared for us and kissed away our pain. We pray that our lives may reflect the love they showed us and that they would be pleased to be called our mom. God, whose vision spans all the ages of the earth, help us to see beyond this moment and to embrace the wider perspective of your whole creation. Deliver us from fear and lead us into a way of love and justice that makes room for all peoples. Send your Spirit among us that we may know the healing power of your love. All this we ask through your Son, Jesus Christ, the reconciler of the world. Amen. Amen.
The peace of the Lord be always with you.
And also with you.
May the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the knowledge and love of God and of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. And the blessing of God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, be upon you today and remain with you always. Amen.
Amen.
Alleluia, alleluia. Go in peace to love and serve the risen Christ.
Thanks be to God. Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia. Alleluia.